I am Lynn Laidlaw. I'm a public contributor stroke involved patient, and I was interviewed by Avril for the Voices project, but I've also participated in a whole day focus group via Zoom.
So I'm Avril, and I'm working on a health talk project, which is about people's experiences of vasculitis. And I've done 15 interviews so far using Teams.
Hi, I'm Hannah Bruin. I'm a research fellow as well in the department. I've interviewed six people, five online using Teams and one on the phone.
Hi, I'm Heidi Gardner, another research fellow in the department, and I've been doing interviews via Zoom using video and audio for an interview study looking at the outcomes that we use in clinical trials.
Lynn, what was it? What's it meant to you to for, that things have moved online?
So it's given me lots of different opportunities. I am so in terms of the patient public involvement, I'm doing stuff with people all over the UK, stuff that I maybe wouldn't have got involved in before because people wouldn't have paid for my travelling expenses or whatever. So it is I've never been busier. I think there's nothing worse than ending up in sort of virtual cyberspace. So if you're in an interview or you're part of a focus group and you have difficulties, and then, or say, like, there's breakout rooms, you've been put into a breakout room and you're not, and you're just floating around in cyberspace. And that's when facilitation is so important, having the phone number of someone that can, land you back into the group.
The ones that I'm doing, the median length is about 2 hours, 10 minutes. But then you've also got the time around that. That's just for the recording. I think I was concerned that because I was trying to get a whole range of people with vasculitis, that we would only get people who were quite tech savvy. But actually, out of the 15 I've done so far, two people have said that they've never done any kind of video thing before, so it was a completely new experience. Setting up the expectation that they would be able to do this and that they would find it a rewarding thing to do, I think was important. So you've got your initial communication by email or by phone, and then I would immediately move to let's have a test Teams session. So then when it comes to the actual interview, it's like, oh yeah, I've done this before. I use the shared screen in what's obviously quite a meta way because I'm showing people the Health Talk website and I'm playing them clips of people who've been videoed in the past. But Lynn, you took part in that study. What was it like for you being on the other end of it?
Yeah, so I probably have to put my hands up. I'm probably one of the longest interviews. I mean, anyone that knows me will say, yeah, Lynn loves to chat. It was a really, really good experience, and it's difficult for me because I had quite a bit of chat and emails back and forward and whatever with you, Avril, and I knew that you were someone that I wanted to talk to, that I could trust you with what was going to be an emotional experience, and lots of emotions to talk about because I had a prolonged diagnostic odyssey and whatever. So I had to trust you with my emotions, and that I could be as that I could be as truthful, even though some of the stuff was potentially upsetting and to healthcare professionals and whatever as well, some of my experiences. So it was, although it sort of stirred up some things, I at the end of it I felt that it was worthwhile and that I had something to say and that I'd said it, and that was really good. Whether I would have felt like that as much if it was someone that I didn't feel that I had a relationship with before is I don't know, because although I've had a few phone interviews, that's the only interview I've done over over video. I think the relational aspect is really important. You've got to develop you've got to feel that people get you and are interested in what you have to say and whatever. And I think that comes over as much in video as it does face to face.
Do you find that, Hannah, that it's as effective on video?
For the kind of interviews that I did with staff that are fairly factual, definitely. How I would feel about something like more emotional, like Lynn was talking about, I'm not too sure. I probably prefer to be there in person. But I'm just old-fashioned.
I think it depends on how, like, what the expectations are going in. So I try and, as Lynn had said, you know, you try and build a bit of rapport before you get into the online interview, so by email and that kind of thing. And I think giving that time at the beginning of the interview is really important to, like, yes, it makes the time longer that you're actually, like, giving to that participant, but it's so important, I think, to get, like, you know, how are you doing? How are you coping in lockdown? You know, if there's kids running around in the background, how's homeschooling going, all that kind of thing. I think that's a really important thing to build that rapport. But I haven't found it, like, massively different. I would try and do that in person anyway. So, yeah, I think as long as you're consciously doing that, then I think it works. It works online.
I think we should not underestimate how important it has been. I'm quite a fan of normalisation process theory, and I think that this kind of remote thing has been so normalised by what we're seeing on the TV. People are from their bedroom, their kitchen, people are noticing what's in the background. The body language problem and the delay and the glitches and the freezing and the things like the audio not being quite in sync with what you're seeing. And I've actually ended up just recently saying to people, look, it is really awkward when you end up talking over each other and when there's a delay. So it's quite helpful if you indicate to me when your train of thought is finished. If tomorrow you could go back to the way things were before, would you?
Probably not. in as far as possible with all the travelling that face-to-face interviews can bring with them. And that's both for my well-being, but also the environment. It was a huge impact, all the travelling I did.
Are there any further thoughts from anybody before we close?
Virtual's not cost-free for participants and offer people expenses for their data. Yeah, it's just a wee aside, but I found... I mean, for me, I've talked a bit about the relational aspects and whatever, so I'm kind of caught between, I have, in terms of patient public involvement, I've never been busier, and I'm doing stuff with people all over, and that's absolutely great, but I'm missing my buddies. So what I found is, before I might phone someone, now I'm WhatsApp video calling them, or I have a basic Zoom account, or I'm setting up a Zoom call, because I want to see people's faces, because, you know, otherwise I'm looking at my husband. And that's fine, you know, my husband's lovely, but you know, I need to see other faces. I feel that I need to connect with people more on, and that for me, that has been, and I don't know if it's different because I don't have a workplace. I think people have been having workplace coffee mornings and kind of feeling part of something. I kind of felt part of the PPI group that I was in, but we're not meeting. We're not meeting face to face. So for me, it's how do I replicate some of these social interactions that we're missing, where I see people's face. I'm not just talking to voices.